Good morning. This message is brought to you by First Baptist Church of Clearfield, located at 111 North 2nd Street. To hear this and other messages, please go to the church website at fbcclearfield.com. Pastor Matt Brown and his congregation invite you to worship the Lord with them Sunday mornings at 10:45. Here's Pastor Matt.
Bibles to John chapter 14, and we'll be in verses 1 through 14 this morning. This is definitely a different week for us, as we aren't meeting physically together, but we can still learn from God's Word, even in the midst of a pandemic. We've been actually working through the Gospel of John together, and it's interesting how God works. This is merely the next passage in our study, but it's extremely relevant for the time that we're going through right now, because the title of my sermon is Faith Over Fear. And isn't that a fitting topic for us? This is an unprecedented time in our lifetimes. Who would have thought that we would be in this situation that we are in right now? Many, many churches have canceled services. Here in our state, non-life-sustaining businesses are closed. All schools in the state are shut down. Grocery stores are bombarded with people, and some items are gone off the shelves. Even the President of the United States said that we should be in groups of no more than 10. So there's a sense of fear and panic in some people right now, as people are worried about their health, or maybe the health of a loved one. They're also fearful when it comes to maybe getting groceries or other needed items. Some individuals can't work right now, and so they're not getting the income that they usually get, and so their finances may struggle. Especially small businesses are going to potentially struggle here in the next couple weeks. And so if you let it, fear can easily consume you right now, because there are so many things to fear over. There's a lot of uncertainty in life, as we have no idea how long it will last. So then what's the remedy? What's the solution to our fear and our panic and our worry? Well, in this passage, God actually gives us the answer, because we see the big idea of this passage, John 14, 1 through 14, is that we ought to live by faith in Christ and not fear. So let's read a section of our passage this morning, John 14, starting in verse 1. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. So the disciples here are troubled. Jesus just announced that a betrayer was in their midst. He told them that he would soon depart from them, and that they couldn't follow him. He told them about Peter's denials soon to come. And so, like us, the disciples were facing a time of a lot of uncertainty, a lot of confusion. Things were changing rapidly, and everything seemed like it was going downhill. You know, a coming betrayal, a coming denial by Peter, a coming departure of their master. How could they be encouraged in a time like this? Everything that they had just heard pushed them to fear, to anxiety, to dismay. Is it any wonder then that Jesus tells them this? He says, "Let not your hearts be troubled." In a time when you would expect Jesus to be the one getting encouragement, because remember, he's going to the cross, it's actually Christ who gives his disciples encouragement. And that's the message that we desperately need in our situation. We need to hear from Christ, who says to us, "Let not your hearts be troubled." And implied in our Savior's words is the fact that you can either let your heart be troubled, or you can not let your heart be troubled. Because letting your heart be troubled is the natural and easy course of action. Really, it is the default mode. If you do nothing, your heart will be troubled. Because fear comes easily. We all know this. You don't have to work at fearing. You don't have to train yourself to fear in troubling times. It just happens. So we must not let it be troubled. And the question then is, how do we not let our hearts be troubled in troubling times? And Jesus says, believe in God, believe also in me. So his answer is faith. Because faith overcomes fear. It is the solution to fear. And you see, uncertainty can cause troubled hearts, but faith in uncertainty causes us to have hearts that are at rest in our Creator's control. So Lord, give us faith, right? There's nothing more than we need right now than a deeper faith, a deeper trust in God. Because I'll take a deeper trust in God over physical or economic uncertainty. Or physical or economic security. Because really, a pandemic isn't the real culprit of our worried souls. You can be worried when there's no pandemic. We all know this. We've all done it. So we must trust Him more completely. In trusting God more, you find true contentment and true security in life. We're told that God feeds the birds of the air, so He takes care of the birds of the air. Why wouldn't He take care of us? We're told that He cares for us as a good father cares for his children. So why do we doubt Him? Why do we doubt Him? He's been faithful in the myriad of times in our lives before. Why would this time be different? Nothing about Him has changed. You may feel ready to throw in the towel, to give it all up, to let despair rule, but do not let it. May the roots of our fear be cut off. May they be ripped out and burned to stubble. And may in its place, may trust grow. J.C. Ryle said, faith in the Lord Jesus is the only sure medicine for troubled hearts. To believe more thoroughly, trust more entirely, rest more unreservedly, lay hold more firmly, lean back more completely. This is the prescription that our Master urges on the attention of all His disciples. You see, times of transition, trouble, and trial are prime times to trust God more thoroughly. And that's the main point of this passage, is to live by faith in Christ and not fear. And the disciples needed this message for their particular time. And I believe that you need this message today. But the question is why? Why don't we have to fear? Why can we trust Him? And Christ gives us the answer in the passage this morning. And so first, because you have a future home. So immediately after Jesus' call to trust and not fear, He talks about His Father's house. He tells us that in His Father's house there are many rooms. Of course, this leads us to ask then, what is His Father's house? And His Father's house refers to heaven. So in heaven there are many dwelling places or rooms. And the reason why most modern translations use dwelling places or rooms is because the Greek word means dwelling places. Now, I know some of you may be thinking, wait a second, I thought they were mansions. And it's true that the King James Version translates the word mansions, and it's because they get it from the Latin Vulgate. And the reason why they translate it mansions is because at the time of the translation of the King James, mansions actually meant dwelling places. So if you think about it, in 1611, when they translated the KJV, a mansion was merely a dwelling place in a larger house. But of course, over time, English changes for some words, and now to us, it means a large, lavish, expensive, huge house. And so all this is to say that we should not think that in heaven we're going to each have this amazing mansion. Because really, that pushes us in the wrong direction of where Jesus is leading us. You see, He isn't desiring us to want to be in heaven because we have all this stuff and all these mansions. And yes, heaven is going to be beautiful, it's going to be great in that way. But What he's doing here is he wants us to be in heaven, and his disciples want to be in heaven because of God's presence, because Christ is there. His point of saying, in my Father's house are many rooms, is to say, there's room available for you all. Every single believer will have a place to dwell with God. There's more than enough space in his Father's house. Christian, there's space reserved for you. Be encouraged, because space is not limited. There's place reserved for you. You see, heaven isn't on a first-come basis where if you die later than someone else, you might miss your spot. No. It's not how it works. Have you ever seen those events where it says, show up early to get your seat? Yeah, heaven's not like that. Christian, you have a future home, and it's not cramped. It's not tight. It's not small. For the person who hasn't trusted in Christ, who hasn't believed in him as their Savior, I say to you, there's space for you if you believe in him. You see, our Father's house never runs out of room. For there are many, many rooms, many dwelling places. Jesus also told his disciples that he was going to prepare a place for them. Now in the past, when I thought of Christ preparing a place for us, I thought, okay, so heaven isn't ready. And for 2,000 years, Jesus is up there constructing rooms. But that's not the point. That's not what Jesus means. Because Jesus just said, in my Father's house are many rooms. He doesn't say, there will be many rooms. Instead, his going to the cross, his resurrecting, his ascension is the preparation. By his work, he prepared, he provided the right for us to enter heaven, for us to be in heaven. He is our representative who went before us, the forerunner. Again, I'm quoting Ryle as he said, as our forerunner, he has marched in, leading captivity captive, has planted his banner in the land of glory. He has prepared it by carrying our names with him as our high priest into the Holy of Holies. They that enter heaven will find that they are neither unknown nor unexpected. Christ has done the preparation work for us so that we can enter the Father's house. Really, it's only because of his shed blood that we are able and welcomed with open arms into heaven. As Ryle said, we will neither be unknown nor unexpected. So praise the Lord! We have a future home prepared and made ready for us by Jesus Christ, our Savior. This is encouraging. But yet he also adds that he's coming again and take us to himself. So he didn't leave to never return, but he left and he will come again. So we won't be forgotten. Jesus will come for his own and he will take us so that we will be with him forever. And that's a great comfort. We will be with the Lord forever. We won't be forgotten. We won't be neglected. We won't be abandoned. And in his edition of his 1 Minute Uplift newsletter, Pastor Rick Azell writes of George Tulloch, who led an expedition to the spot where the Titanic sank in 1912. And he and his crew recovered numerous artifacts. Before leaving the site, Tulloch's team set out to raise a 20-ton piece of iron. And they were successful in lifting it to the surface, but a storm blew in and the ropes broke and the Atlantic reclaimed the ship. And Tulloch was forced to retreat and regroup, but before he left, he did something very curious. He descended into the deep, and with this robotic arm of the submarine, he attached this strip of metal to a section of the hull, and on the metal he wrote the words, I will come back, George Tulloch. And you know what? Jesus uttered the same thing to his disciples, I will come back. And Jesus can be trusted. His word can be counted on. He is coming back. So again, going back to why don't we have to be troubled in troubling times like these? Because we have a future home promised to us. There's plenty of room. It's prepared for us by Christ's perfect work. And someday He will come back and receive His own, and so will we always be with the Lord. So as a believer, think about this. As a believer, you don't have a dark future. You have a bright one. So do you want fear to fade in your life? Look to your future home. So what's the second reason why we should live by faith and not fear? Because of who Christ is. So you see, our fear doesn't just fade because we look to the future, but because of who we trust in right now. In verse 4, Jesus tells the disciples that they know the way to where He's going, and Thomas is like, no, we don't. Where? What is the way? And Jesus uses this opportunity, uses this conversation to make a huge claim. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. Now that is a monumental statement. Jesus is the way to God. He doesn't just tell them how to get to heaven. He is the way to heaven, the only way to heaven. He is the truth because He embodies the supreme revelation from God. He perfectly reveals the Father and what the Father wants us to hear. There is absolutely no falsehood in Him at all. Absolutely none. He is the life because He has life in Himself. He is the source of eternal life that we need. So you want to find eternal life? You want to find the way? It's in Jesus. You want truth? Christ is your answer. You want eternal life? It's in Him alone. Now do you see why Jesus is a big deal? Now do you also see why rejecting Him is also a big deal? You see, no one, absolutely no one, can come to the Father except through belief in Him. And as Jesus makes clear, knowing and seeing Him is actually knowing and seeing the Father. He perfectly reveals God the Father to the world because He is God. That's why Hebrews 1 talks about how God has spoken to us through His Son, who is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of His nature. This is who we are called to believe in and to trust in. We believe in Him because of who He is. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And so when we know Him, we know God the Father. And He needs to be trusted in. He needs to be believed in because of who He is. But not only that, here's the thing. We don't have to fear because of who Christ is. This relates right back to what He said. Don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in Me. We don't have to be troubled. We don't have to fret or fear because of who we trust in. You see, He isn't this sinful human like us. He isn't this flawed person. He is everything. You see, believing in Him, we have access to God and a home in heaven. Believing in Him, we find the truth that our soul longs for. Believing in Him, we receive eternal life. Edward Clink III said, since Jesus is everything, those who do not have Him have nothing. If this appears exclusive, it is. So do you know why you don't have to be troubled right now? During this very fearful time, during this very this pandemic in our world, and in our world of uncertainty. Do you know why? Because of who Christ is. We don't trust someone who can fail. We don't trust a liar or a dead man. We don't trust a person like our government leaders who have been caught off guard by a pandemic and now are scrambling to figure out the best course of action. No, we trust Jesus, who created the world and who we are told that sustains the universe, who upholds the universe by the power of His word. We trust Jesus who died for us, for our sins, and in our place, who rose again, who ascended, is now seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. He's never caught off guard by anything. And he tells us, and he tells you, do not let your heart be troubled, but trust in him. And you can be sure of this because of who he is. The third reason why we don't have to fear is because you aren't left alone in ministry. You see, Jesus is going to depart from his disciples, and they need to be encouraged, not only in life in general, but also as now, as they minister for him, they need to be encouraged. As he continues talking, he moves from talking simply about himself, and now he goes to talking about those who believe in him. And he states that those who believe in him will also do the works that he does. In fact, he says that greater works we will do because he's going to the Father. Well, this is interesting. How is it possible that we will do greater works than Jesus? Well, first off, this isn't merely to be this just big comparison between Jesus and us to say, oh, look, we're better than Jesus. No. For actually, we can only do these works because we believe in him, because he's going to the Father, and we do the works that he does. So it's not like he's separated from our works. In fact, this section pretty much shows us that he is working through us. So what I believe greater here means is greater because of when they are done. So you think about, it says because he goes to the Father. They're greater because he goes to the Father. You think about Jesus' signs and works. They weren't super clear. They pointed to him, but it's only after his death and resurrection and ascension that it all made sense. Think about the disciples. It all made sense after the resurrection and ascension and then the Spirit when they received the Spirit. And so it shows us that our works are then set in that framework of Jesus' death and triumph. And therefore, we more truly, in our works, in our pointing to Jesus, we more truly reveal him because everything is made manifest. Because he goes to the Father, these things are greater. More people are going to respond to the gospel. And so, this isn't because we're greater. It's because of after Christ's work and now the work that we do, and we do it through him and his working. So really think about what Christ is saying here. We participate, think about this, we participate in the works of Christ. That makes our ministry extremely significant, doesn't it? When we share the gospel, when we point people to Christ, when we serve others, we are doing the works that he did. We are participating in the ministry of Jesus who is working through us. And this ministry is a great ministry because it clearly reveals Jesus Christ to people. Now that changes our outlook, our perspective on ministry, isn't it? Doesn't it? It shows us our ministry is not a waste. It's big, it's monumental, it's important. Christ is continuing to work, even though he's not here on earth. He's continuing to work, and he works a lot of times through us, through our ministry. Really, it's not our ministry, it's his ministry, and we're working on his behalf. So we aren't doing ministry alone, and that's why he talks about prayer next. As we do ministry, we don't do it as this lone wolf, but we do it wholly dependent on him. As we minister, we ask for things in his name, and he answers. We are called to pray in his name, and that is, we pray in accord with all that his name stands for. We're his representatives working on his behalf. So we ask for things, really, that line up with God's will and bring glory to God. So this isn't a total blank check prayer, but prayer that is based in desiring to do what God wants and what God wills. E. Stanley Jones, in one of his books, wrote, "Prayer is surrender. Surrender to the will of God in cooperation with that will." He says, "If I throw out a boat hook from the boat and catch hold of the shore and pull, do I pull the shore to me or do I pull myself to the shore? Prayer is not pulling God to my will, but the aligning of my will to God's will." So we pray according to His will, but also we pray according to His timing. Notice how He says, "I will do it," but He doesn't say when. So don't be discouraged. We pray, we offer those prayers in humble dependence upon His will and His timing. So don't fear. Although Jesus is not physically present with us in life and ministry, He is still present with us and working. And as we'll find out next week, He's present with us through the Spirit. But we participate in His works and we go to Him in prayer. He is readily available in prayer. So really, we aren't left alone, trying to minister in our own power, but really we minister and He powerfully works in us. We minister for Him and we minister relying on Him. So I say that's a reason not to fear, but to trust Him in ministry as we still minister even in this unprecedented time. We still minister and we should be ministering. Even in our ministry, we don't fear because He's at work and He's available and through prayer, available to help. So as you think about this passage, what's it all point to? As I said earlier, we live by faith, not by fear. In the midst of a pandemic, we should surely take preparations, of course. We can also surely have a level of concern over what's going on. But here's the thing, we don't have to let our hearts be troubled. We don't have to have troubled hearts. We don't have to live in a state of fear. We don't have to live in a state of panic or worry or anxiety. And as He showed us, faith is the solution to our troubled souls. Faith overcomes fear. Faith over fear. So when your heart starts to become troubled, remember your future home. There is space reserved for you in the Father's house. Someday Christ will return for His own, for those who believe in Him. And we have a glorious future. We have a glorious future, which makes anything we go through now seem so small and momentary. When you feel your heart beginning to be troubled, remember who Christ is. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He has revealed God to us through Himself. And when you trust Him deeper, you have everything that you need. So when fears start to enter your mind, will you remember this? Remember who Christ is. Remember who your Savior is. And this Savior never leaves us, but He allows us to participate in His ministry, and He's readily available through prayer. You see, our ministry, it can be fruitful not because of our own power, but because of His powerful working through us. So maybe you're here, maybe you're listening to the sermon, and you have never trusted in Christ. You've never repented of your sins and believed in Him. I appeal to you, do that today. We're all sinners, and we have all lusted, lied, stolen, and we deserve condemnation. We deserve the wrath of God. We need forgiveness, or else we will die and go to hell. But God, out of love, provided a way to be saved, and it's through Jesus. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He took your spot on the cross, and He died for your sins. Even though He was sinless, He died for your sins, but He didn't remain dead. Like many of the people that we know throughout history who died and remained dead, Jesus did not remain dead. He rose again in power, conquering sin and death, showing that sin and death do not have the final word. He is the only way to God, so don't go anywhere else. He is the truth, so do not look anywhere else. And He is the life, so receive eternal life in Him. You know, we live in a fearful time right now. We live in a time of great uncertainty. But here's the thing. We live trusting a great God who has promised to us an amazing future with Him. You know, there's a story of a mother and a four-year-old daughter who were going to bed one night, and the child was afraid of the dark. And at this moment, on this occasion, the mother felt fearful also. And when the light went out, the child caught a glimpse of the light of the moon. And she said, "Mother, is the moon God's light?" "Yes," said the mother. "Will God put out His light and go to sleep?" The mother replied, "No, my child. God never goes to sleep." And then out of the simplicity of a child's faith, she said that which gave reassurance to the fearful mother. "Well, as long as God is awake, there is no sense in both of us staying awake." Rest today knowing that God never sleeps. He never leaves you. But He can be trusted at all times in your life. Even in times like these, He can be trusted. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for Your Word and the encouragement that Your Word gives, the comfort that it gives. And help us in times like these to trust You even more completely, even more deeper than we have before. Allow this time to put us on our knees in humble dependence on You, to go to You in prayer, relying on You for everything, remembering that You have promised a future home for us. That this is not our home, but we have a future perfect home, and we have a perfect Christ who we trust in. In Christ's name, amen.